Tiny City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And maybe it's not meant to last. But what do you say to taking chances? What do you say to jumping off the edge?
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 156. I'm just giddy, Amy Matheny.
And I'm not giddy, Peter Maverick.
Oh, come on. It's a little Celine Dion.
Oh, I
Celine
know.
Dion.
I know you love the hell out of her.
I love the hell out of her. I know that someone has gotten me tickets before December 15th to go back and see her in Vegas,
oh, really?
Right? Some great Queercast fan who's obsessed with me is going to show up and send us an email and say, Amy, I have your tickets because it's entirely sold out. I've seen it, but I want to see it again.
But the 15th is the last one?
Last one.
Wow.
Ever.
Well, ever. No, for now. Let's, for now.
In Caesars, yes. I mean, she may hit it. Well, who knows? That's true.
Because how many comebacks has Cher had, really?
Yeah, but 5 years. The end of 5 years and no new albums. And now we have a new album from Celine, Taking Chances. And it's a good album. It's a much different sound for her in some ways. A lot more acoustic and... as acoustic as Celine gets. And although I've seen her do an entire acoustic set in her shows. So I don't know. It's just the gayest thing that happened this week.
Oh,
Celine's eyeliner and her Celine-ness. I just love it.
I am in this gigantic bubble right now. And you know exactly how it
You're
is.
You're in rehearsal.
Like in rehearsals.
You have no clues that there's a world going on outside of a dark, dank, dusty theater with creepy, crazy, funny people.
It's so crazy. Well, we're not even in the theater yet. We're not even in tech yet.
We're in rehearsal
cells. Yeah, we're in like this rehearsal space in a church. And it's lovely because we're rehearsing at North Shore Baptist, but you know the show is pretty racy,
right?
And if you want to check it out, you can go to handbagproductions.org. And we did a photo shoot, and I'm a big gay elf, and I'm like half naked in the pictures. I'll have to show you them
in handbagproductions.org.
Handbagproductions.org. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So we're rehearsing the show, and you know it gets pretty racy, and we're talking because that's kind of the, you know, you got to bowl people over the head with the raciness in order for them to sort of get the, you know, the real morals behind it, and. We're standing there
because they're
singing.
Drunk and it's late at night.
No, it's
I'm
not
teasing
even that.
You.
I mean, you know,
it's a smart, funny show.
It's a theatrical thing that you know you really go over
it's
the top,
satire,
so that when they bounce back, right? So we're doing our shtick and we're practicing our elf number, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I look and there's like 15 people out in the halls watching. Now, we're saying shit and bitch and fuck and all this stuff, like, in this church.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, my God.
I feel dirty. I want to go take a bath.
I swear I saw these two small, what looked like Filipino women cross themselves as they were walking by. I felt terrible.
Oh, my
but
God.
But then, you know, it's okay. It's all right.
Okay.
It's good.
Oh, my heavens.
I'll atone for my sins.
Well, honestly, this has just been, it has been a whirlwind week since we last talked to you. Because, first of all, INDA passed in the House, which is enormous. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Bush is probably going to veto this thing.
He can't because it's bound to the funding for the war.
Well,
so he would. They kept.
They expect him
together.
To. They expect him to. But who knows? We will see. It is a very strange bill that is the GLBT and war bill. But that happened, of course, the writer's strike, which was imminent, and we discussed last week with Jamie Babbitt, is now definitely underway,
and
Hollywood
stage,
is feeling the effects.
Both coasts.
New York just happened to keep right in line. IATSE, which for people who don't know, IATSE is the stagehands Anybody in the backstage crew or crew member hands, I call them hands because that's what we call them in the theater world.
But raising things, making things happen.
The people who do anything behind the scenes, they are striking now. So Broadway is dark.
Most of Broadway.
And that is just millions and millions and millions of dollars a day.
I have a question though.
As well.
Is it local to the area or is it a national organization? Because how come they're not dark here in Chicago?
Well, they probably have a different IATSE number or something.
Oh, so this is like the local union.
I think it is. It's the local union in New York. So, you know, for Chicagoans, you know, we have our fellow Chicagoans at Steppenwolf who are trying to open August, Osage County.
They didn't even get to do their opening performance, did they?
I don't think they've opened yet.
Or was it coming up this week? I can't remember where it was.
One is hoping that luckily they know the show. They've done it. They performed it forever here in Chicago, which is a blessing because if the lights finally turn on, they can be in place
just
and go. So it's just a week of strikes. And I just hope people can just all get along.
Yeah.
You know, give the writers another little percentage and give the IATSEs what they need to soothe their aching muscles and backs. And let's move on and create art and create entertainment because some producers making too much money. And I just know that on either coast. So
there's this new form of media. I mean, you and I are part of the new media. We're part of this new online thing, and it's going to be new for many more years. You know, people have been podcasting for several years now, but it's still going to be new. But it's changing the rules, and at least on the Hollywood side of things, I don't really think any of this necessarily applies to New York. But I think on the Hollywood coast, on the West Coast, they're doing something about it. The writers are standing up and saying, you know what, we want in on it because, damn it, we should be in on it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
People are watching their things that they've written on YouTube and watching them on their ABC.com. Watch all our shows. You don't have to watch it on television. And they're also getting DVDs and not watching entire seasons of shows and then buying the entire season of Desperate Housewives.
One interesting thing that regularly gets published, you know, are Nielsen statistics on what's going on in the television set. No one is publishing statistics on the number of downloads that their show has.
Yeah.
And they're limiting that information on purpose because the fat cats who are collecting all the monies, the producers really, truly are making out like bandits. I mean, even though NBC split off from iTunes, there's all this other stuff. I think Hulu is the service. I might have that wrong. But there's all this other stuff that's creeping up and no one is reporting like download statistics as a whole.
Yeah.
So if NBC, just because they pulled them out of one spot, doesn't mean they're not making shitloads of money in the other place.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting time we're living in that we're seeing legislation for, you know, new technology. And I had some friends who were talking about the internet. This is way back, such a way back machine in 1994. So it's over 10 years ago now. It's 13 years ago, probably 13 and a half years ago. It was early in the year. And they talked about it. They said, wouldn't it be great if you could just watch whatever TV show you wanted when you wanted to watch it?
TiVo!
Not even necessarily
on demand,
TiVo, though.
I guess it's more on-demand type of...
On-demand, and on-demand comes in so many flavors, right? It comes in an online flavor. It comes through your cable box. It comes on all these different things. It comes on DVDs that you can buy the DVDs in the store, which, you know, the writers aren't making money on the DVDs either.
That's it.
They're not making money out of what's being sold. And those statistics are being touted left and right. Oh, we sold 50,000 copies, blah, 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 blah. Nobody's tracking how many of the downloads are. But it was just so interesting that these conversations are now coming to the forefront and the writers are the first to do something about it. So,
well, they're the first ones whose contract came up. So it's going to set the precedent.
Right.
Director's contract will come up next year, I think. So, you know, what's interesting too, is that with television, once things get settled and the writers go back to work, television will pick back up. We will have this break here in the middle. But what is interesting for film is that we will not feel it now for about a year and a half when the new cycle of films come around.
They think that we will
because we're missing now. They do not think this strike will be decided in 2007. And if it's not solved in this year, so many films are on hold now for 2 months. That's 2 months of filming that it only seems like 2 months, but people say that even if it's 2 or 3 months, that will affect a good entire summer.
Yeah.
Like if you think about how films roll around, like it'll either be a summer or a fall or a holiday season that will fall short.
Yeah, but I almost think we're going to feel it in a beneficial way that we're going to see the indie film world.
Oh, I don't think it's a bad thing. I just mean that the blockbuster world will. I have no problem if the blockbuster world has a dry season
down.
And we get some really good Lust Caution and you know, some good indie films. That would be fantastic.
I don't need the big explosions or the big comedies or, you know, Devil Wears Prada was a fun movie, but Really.
Exactly.
The book's way better. So
yeah, it's exactly right.
Have you read a book recently?
You know, I'm reading. I'm reading Love in the Time of Cholera. I finished my Harry Potter, which of course I took with me to Canada. That was so heavy, I had to take it out of my
home.
Well, I had started it and I really wanted to finish it before we left, but I didn't. And of course, Kelly was like, why don't you just take a smaller paperback? I was like, I'm in Harry Potter land. I don't want to leave. So I'm reading Love in the Time of Cholera, which I had never read any Marquez. So I'm really enjoying it. It's quite a beautiful book. I'm almost done.
Do you ever listen to books?
I used to. When I was a traveling sales rep, when I moved to Chicago, I was traveling around 4 or 5 states. And at that time, I did. I really hated that as a gay person, I couldn't go into Cracker Barrel because they always had... Did you hear how Southern I just got? Cracker Barrel?
Cracker.
I can get a biscuit and with some gravies and a little bit of jam on the side and pick me up a book on tape.
Now I'm hungry.
But you used to be able to get their books on tape and you could... drop them off at any Cracker Barrel location. So you could pick up...
It was like a rental.
It was like a rental. They were the original people that did that. And they would...
Cracker Barrel Netflix or Bookflix.
I think they still have it. I mean, I think you can still go into a Cracker Barrel, pick up a book on tape, drive to the next state, go to the Cracker Barrel and drop it off. Like, it was big, good business for them because it got you in their door.
Sure did.
And I think there was a fee, but I don't think it was...
Some rock candy on a stick or
got some rock candy on a stick and one of those little tiny rocking chairs that you could stick up on the counter and put like a...
I don't have a
bobblehead
in my car. I have a small rocking chair.
That's right. I used to love to just sit in a rocking chair on the front porch of a Cracker Barrel, but I don't go to Cracker Barrel anymore. Whenever I go home, I have a couple of friends that are always like, well, meet me at the Cracker Barrel, and they're not gay, and I always have to kind of go, I don't go there.
Yeah, not anymore. Although I know.
We have to go to Bob Evans, or we have to go to the IHOP, or...
Waffle House.
Yeah.
I like the Waffle House.
I like the
People
Bob Evans. They
the
got
Waffle
some
House.
Good sausage gravy.
They know how to do pig, I have to tell you.
I like the pig. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Family's all here.
Yeah, so you're staying here.
So yeah, it's a local call. It's a local call. And
it's early to talk about it, I know, on the podcast,
no,
but it's a week away.
It's good to plan. It's good to plan. But I realized the other day that, wow, we're going to be eating turkey in a minute, and then we're going to be swapping presents, and then bazoing, it's New Year.
Yep.
It's
you are rehearsing Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer,
handbagproductions.org. .org.
Handbagproductions.org.
We're not for profit. So your tickets are tax deductible. Therefore, you should buy all of them. So it's just bizarre that the end of the year, there's always that limbo between the beginning of October and the end of November.
Yep. That kind of evaporates and doesn't happen.
God, I don't know what I've been doing for the last 6 weeks, but they're gone.
It's a wormhole. It's a wormhole in our ooosphere.
Really, really, really.
Yeah, I got to start buying presents tomorrow.
You have, I shop all year long though.
Oh, you're so bad.
So almost all my Christmas shopping is done.
I don't think of anybody but me most months of the year.
I think of me, but I think of everybody else as well. But now this time of year, I get to think of me, which I love because all the Christmas sales and everything. But
So
I'm
so hilarious.
Most of my family has already bought and signed, sealed, delivered.
Oh,
and that's all done.
Kelly and I are still going, what are we going to do? What do you want to do? Do we want to set a limit? Do we want to do nothing? I mean, I honestly, you know what? I don't love to get gifts. I really don't.
Really?
I wish I did.
Oh my God. I fucking love getting gifts.
Yeah, I don't. I don't really love getting gifts. I really don't. I just love being around. To me, I love being around people. And if what my gift could be is that I rented a jet plane and I flew from locale to locale to see the different people that I love, that would be the best
jet
thing.
Set.
That would be like the best gift.
You're on Dirty Sexy Money.
Except for the jet lag.
Amy Darling.
Amy Darling. I'm in love with that Karen Darling. She is such a dimwit. I'd like to throw her legs over her head. I think she is hot.
Oh, like that. Oops.
No, I'm trying to get it sexy because we have a very sexy interview today, so
we
I'm
do.
Taking
I
it
love
to the racy,
teeth,
sexy
though.
Place. Don't you think she's just
teeth.
Adorable?
She looks,
she's so fresh.
She looks like this girl in the queer community in Chicago who I absolutely hate.
Oh, no. Don't tell me who it
hate.
Is.
No, I won't. I won't say her name because that cunty bitch can die.
Ooh.
But she looks just like her. But I always loved this girl's teeth. And the actress who plays Karen Darling has the exact same teeth.
I just love her. I think she's so fresh and funny. And
her husband-to-be is one of my favorite soap opera stars. I've loved him.
Well, you have to watch it because you obviously haven't watched the wedding episode last night.
No, I haven't. Honey, I've been
there
it's
you
like
go.
Hoofing it for hours and hours. So.
Well, keeping it real, keeping it to a sexy place, as we started with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Peter's show, and taking it to dirty
theaters,
and sexy.
Theatrical.
Yeah. We are so excited tonight that Sean Graney, director, normally director of The Hypocrites, but now is heading on down to the Court Theater to direct What the Butler Saw, mm-hmm. by openly gay and tragic, his life story is fairly tragic, British writer Joe Orton's What the Butler Saw, and it's a great play. I actually did this play in college. I love this play. It's very funny. It's very wrong. At the time, it had to have been so super scandalous and edgy. So we're going to talk to him about this production and really letting the hair down in Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so
a beautiful theater space. Oh, I mean, my God,
and
I'd love to work in there.
And a great cast. Mm-hmm. He has gathered some really funny, amazingly talented people.
Chicagoans.
Exactly. And I'm going this weekend to see it, so I'll give you the 411. Yeah. But
I'll be dancing in panties.
Yeah, but we're talking with Sean Graney on the show. Lots of news, even more stuff to talk about that's happening, mm-hmm. and much, much more. Stay with us.
Listen very closely to the music of the night. The music of the most spellbinding experience in theater history. The music of the Phantom of the Opera. Now you are invited to fall captive to all the music, the power, and the passion. The Phantom of the Opera is now at the Cadillac Palace Theater through January 5th only. Get tickets at the box office, BroadwayInChicago.com, or call 312-902-1400. There's only one Phantom, and you've waited long enough.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Kaweez!
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 12th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
About Face Theater presents Wedding Play, a world premiere written and directed by Eric Rosen. Set in the world of Chicago theater, Wedding Play blends mystery and comedy and might just be a confession to murder. Wedding Play is playing now at the Steppenwolf Garage. Call 312-335-1650 or visit aboutfacetheater.com for tickets.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Philip Barry's sparkling comedy of manners, The Philadelphia Story. Don't miss this staging of the beloved Katharine Hepburn film classic. The Philadelphia Story is playing now through January 6th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Are you depressed? Repressed? Undressed? Court Theater has the cure. They will have you feeling better in no time with gay playwright Joe Orton's sexy and ferociously playful farce, What the Butler Saw. Sean Graney directs the provocative comedy now playing through December 9th. For tickets to What the Butler Saw, visit courttheater.org.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
Critics and audiences love Forbidden Broadway, the fall down funny smash hit musical at the Royal George Theater. The Chicago Tribune raves, it's the funniest, fastest 90 minutes in Chicago. Forbidden Broadway playing now through January 13th. For tickets, call 312-988-9000 or go to ticketmaster.com.
One of the most intriguing stars, the Bryn Mawr beauty with the tomboy flair. Now in a remarkable uncanny performance, four-time Tony Award-nominated actress Tova Feltsche plays the legendary Katharine Hepburn in the Chicago premiere of Tea at Five from November 19th to the 23rd with a special gay night just for us, December 20th, where you can meet Ms. Feltsche after the show. For tickets to Tea at Five, call North Shore Box Office 847-673-6300 or visit northshorecenter.org.
And as always, for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
the very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Last week, the U.S. House of Representatives successfully passed ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. The vote, 235-184, marks the first time that either chamber of Congress has passed employment protections based on sexual orientation. 20 states and the District of Columbia already ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Only 7 of them do not ban discrimination on the basis of gender identity. Over 350 GLBT groups in the United ENDA Coalition had been urging Congress to pass legislation that bans discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered workers.
Pioneering HIV/AIDS physician R. Scott Hitt recently passed away from colon cancer. Hitt was the former presidential HIV and AIDS advisor during Clinton's administration and founded the R. Scott Hitt Foundation in hopes of fostering future GLBT community activists and leaders.
Ferndale, Michigan recently elected its first openly gay mayor, Craig Covey. Covey was a city councilman for many years and is CEO of the Michigan AIDS Prevention Project. He received 54% of the vote.
Columbia Law School's Sexuality and Gender Law Clinic announced that it recently secured asylum for a gay Jamaican man, Van Messam. Messam said that he had his life threatened and was hunted by angry mobs carrying machetes and other weapons while living in the country.
Prevention Justice Mobilization, PJM, a national movement endorsed by over 100 organizations and initiated by Community HIV/AIDS Mobilization Project, CHAMP, will hold a series of events around World AIDS Day this year. PJM will end and a December 4th rally outside of Atlanta's National HIV Prevention Conference to demand increased prevention efforts.
Rosie O'Donnell caused a stir at a recent Miami book fair to promote her new book, Celebrity Detox, when she dropped the F word twice and mentioned a possible show deal with MSNBC. In addition, many of the seats at the event were empty.
Portia de Rossi is playing a lesbian this season in Nip Tuck as the lover of Julie Richardson. De Rossi, who lives out and openly with girlfriend Ellen DeGeneres, has also been pitching a sitcom about a closeted man and woman who marry each other to save their acting careers called Butch and Faye.
Project Runway, the smash hit reality fashion contest on Bravo, starts its fourth season this week with multiple showings, so check your local listings. This newest season features 7 gay men.
What a surprise. Huh. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Peter and Amy on Windy City Clearcast. Be there.
It's a big gay contest and you could win. All you have to do is enter. Top prize, American Airline tickets for 2, good for travel in the U.S. 48, Bermuda, Bahamas, Mexico, Canada, or the Caribbean. Second prize, VIP theater package to Altar Boys with t-shirts and a meet and greet for you and 3 friends. And third place, a CD extravaganza of great recording artists. To enter, just email promotions@windycitymediagroup.com and list your top 3 gay entertainers of all time and include your name and phone number. In the subject of the email, put the word contest. That's it. Join our year-end big gay contest. You might be a winner.
Drawing to be held January 1st, 2008 by random drawing. Winners will be notified.
Butler Saw is a wacky, risque farce that is super British, super sexy, and super fun, especially when it's starring Chicago favorites Mary Beth Fisher, Joe Faust, and is being directed by Sean Graney, all at the Court Theater. And this is a show I've really been looking forward to, Peter, for the fall.
Hey.
I love this show. And Sean's here to tell us about the play and also its historical significance as queer theater. Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Are you feeling rested and like you're on the precipice of this big machine?
I am, we're in the middle of tech right now, so it's a little, it's definitely a little stressful. It's a lot of fun, though.
So tell people that don't know this play, and I know it's a hard one to describe, but what would you kind of say as a few sentences about what this play is about?
Well, plot-wise, I would say it's about a psychiatrist who tries to seduce a young potential secretary, and he manages to get her undressed, and then his wife comes in trying to cover up the fact that he seduced this young secretary, has been releases all sorts of chaos.
Yes, and there's blood and straitjackets and penises and
Ooh. Oh my,
all good kinds of things.
all the fun stuff, yes.
Oh, and the poor costume cleanup crew. That's all I know. We did this show in college, so I can tell you they were scrubbing straitjackets for years. So
yeah.
This play is written by Joe Orton, and he's been called one of the most influential playwrights of the 20th century. Tell our listeners, what is his story? Because it's almost like a soap opera or some tragic episode of Queer as Folk or something.
Yeah, he was... He sort of fell in love with he was in the theater scene. He fell in love with a slightly older actor in London, and sort of the actor took him under his wing, and he wasn't a playwright at the time, or a very well-known playwright, and they were very poor, and for fun they used to take library books out and then insert pornographic pictures into the library books and then return them to the shelves, and they got arrested for that, and then they ended up doing... I believe 6 months in prison for it. And at that time, Joe Orton decided to start writing plays. And my facts may be a little off, so I hope they're okay.
But
then the tension between when he came out and his plays started catching on, came out of prison, his boyfriend started getting very jealous, and they started developing this pretty intense relationship, which ended in his boyfriend... killing him. Joe Orton was killed with a hammer, hit in the head with a hammer, and then his boyfriend took his own life as well.
And that's been, his story has been made into a film, correct? Is that right?
Yeah, Prick Up Your Ears.
Yeah. Which, if you want to see the whole nitty gritty of the, they say that dykes have drama, but believe me, two boys had some drama.
How to get push a queen in the corner and she'll come at you with a hammer. Ooh, I know how that works.
It's like a lesbian bar on a starving, sad night. So, but tell me, how was Butler received initially? Because this was like what, the late 60s, correct?
Yes, it was not received very well when it had a premiere. People called it pornography, called it filth, said that it had no right being on the stage. There was a great article that said that it was releasing evil onto the world.
Wow.
People were not very pleased with it.
Whee! That's fun. Release some evil onto the world. And it was also produced after his death. Is that correct?
Yes, it was the last play he wrote, and some people say that it's sort of stuck in draft mode presently, and it was produced after he died, yeah.
Yeah.
So how did all that, because all that adds up to this incredible formula, and how did you choose this one? What made you choose that?
Well, I personally think it's his best play. It's sort of, he managed to really capture a sense of an old, like, French sex farce and just turn up the heat on it. He said he wanted to write a play as funny as The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde, and I really think he succeeded.
Now, court theater, for people who haven't been, is a really extraordinary world-class theater company in Hyde Park in Chicago, and
gorgeous,
fantastic
space
facility, and just a really great, usually designed facility for the language they use with through design, and also, of course, they keep the classics and the theater of language really alive. But I don't really think of the court usually as sexy, and I don't really think of the court usually as an assault on the world kind of home for plays and for theater. So how is that marriage working, What the Butler Saw, Orton and court theater, and how are you planning on pushing this envelope for a modern audience to create the same kind of impact and feeling of shock and a scandal?
Well, at first Charlie Newell, the artistic director of the court theater, brought the play to me to see if I'd be interested in directing it. It's a play that he loves and felt that my theatrical and, I guess, sensibilities to not worry about material being risky so much. I think he felt that would be a good match for him, and he was absolutely right. I love the place so much. So it's fitting in. Everybody's been really supportive and excited about it down here, and everybody's excited about the even the content and how far we're going with it. And in order to sort of, it was written in the 60s, and a lot of the stuff that they were dealing with then, the issues about sexuality, isn't quite as shocking as it is now, that it's more part of the mainstream vocabulary. It's certainly not accepted nowadays, like dealing with transvestism and homosexuality. It's part of the mainstream vocabulary, but things like incest and rape fantasies, which are in the play, are certainly not part of the mainstream vocabulary. So it's still, I still think the show on the page retains a lot of shock value.
Well, and you have a great cast to kind of help you push this envelope and just play on the stage, because it's such a, you know, it is that the way that farce just kind of bubbles and permeates all over the stage. You have to have actors who can really be laser sharp and smart and wickedly funny. So talk about who your cast, who all is in your cast.
Well, we got Mary Beth Fisher, who works a lot around town, and she is so, so funny. From day one, she has just been bringing so much intelligence and so much energy, and the dynamics that she brings into the rehearsal room is just amazing.
I love her. I think she is hot, as our friend Deb says in Toronto. I mean, her in a white suit in the Clean House last year at Goodman, I was like telling my girlfriend, I was like, Mary Beth Fisher is so hot. There's a number of us theater lesbians who have crushes on her, have girl crushes on her.
You'll definitely enjoy this show, though.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm hoping that you've put her in some very pretty lacy lingerie. That's all I guess.
Well, you'll have to see.
I know. Her husband is going to beat me up. You know, her husband's a powerful, powerful man, so I should shut up now. But he won't listen to my little show, so it's okay. And who else is in your cast?
Well, Joe Foss, like you mentioned earlier, who has been, you know, pushing the envelope of Chicago theater for the past 15 years.
Yes, so people, really, he's a Defiant theater guy. People remember him from Defiant.
Mm-hmm. Completely, yeah. And he just works consistently, and we were lucky to get him because he, more than most other actors I know, is just so willing to really go to places without thinking twice about what the outcome will be, and just he'll go out there and do it. And he's just so brave and intelligent, and the way he does it is so, it's creative and funny. Almost everything he does is so funny.
Yeah, and he's a very physical actor too, which is genius.
Yes. Yeah, and he's done a lot of farces in his life, so he's helped a lot with the sort of the rules of farce.
Yeah. Do you think that this play is significant as a piece of queer theater, or and his other plays as well, Loot and Entertaining Mr. Sloan? I guess I mean from the sensibility of the way that he wrote.
Oh, I do. I do. Thanks very much. And I think that he, you know, he's mostly commenting, I feel, on the fact that homosexuality is so unaccepted. And sort of you have to ask yourself why. When you watch his plays, you have to wonder why people are reacting to homosexuality in such a negative way. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way he deals with it. Sort of rather than heralding like how great it is, I think he attacks the people that think it's that have problems with it.
Yeah, I would agree. So where do you go from here? Because I know that you're a company member with Hypocrites. You directed was last year that you did Angels, right? Or was it the year before?
Yeah, it was last year.
Last year that you did the huge
year and a half. Yeah.
Angels in America, which for any actor or director, I think that is like, it's kind of like making a film for theater people, yeah. right? The amount of time that it takes to do that play.
It was a monumental undertaking for sure.
Yeah. And was very well received, and that, you know, you just take such a fresh look at plays today. What is next? What would you love to direct next? Or do you already have a project that you're thrilled about?
Well, I'm already working on, I'm directing Top Girls at University of Chicago by Carol Churchill, and then I'm directing Miss Julie for The Hypocrites.
Ah, Very cool. And so the $1 million question, and I don't know, do you sit around the table and talk about this on the first day of rehearsal? Like, what did the butler have to do with it, and what did he see? Where the fuck did he get this title? I know.
I was talking to an actor who said he was in this play in back in college. It was an older Chicago actor, and God bless him, I asked him what part he played, and he said the butler.
Funny.
Sort of like telling me to try to be polite because there's no butler in the play. The butler saw is a machine.
Yeah.
It's like a film, a Nickelodeon machine, where in Victorian times and Edwardian times, people used to watch, like through a little keyhole in this film machine, you would see ladies undressing and
doing all sorts of little flip books. Things. Yeah, it was like a little flip book on the inside, and it would flip through all that good stuff.
I never knew that.
Yeah. The cherry picker is a famous one. That's a hot one.
Oh. You know, I played Mrs. Prentice in college, and so my favorite line in the entire play is, "My uterine contractions have been bogus for some time." I love that line so much. I've said it in many a fight just to kind of dispel the energy. And I've told my lovers to say, "You're going to go to your grave in a Y-shaped coffin." It's another one of my favorite lines. I love that one, too. Just a great, great, great play. Hey, much success, Sean. And I hope everybody will go out. If you've not seen this play, it's just a ride. It's just like a fun, wacky ride. And when you think of when it was written... And, you know, just how revolutionary it was. But it doesn't feel like a period piece when you see it. You can just really get caught up in it and enjoy it, but also have a lot of respect for the buttons that were being pushed and the boundaries that were really being knocked down. What the Butler Saw is playing now through December 9th at the Court Theater at 5535 South Ellis. That's right on the University of Chicago campus. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing down there now, too.
So
I just was
gorgeous
down there last week, and I was like, wow, they just keep building buildings. If you'd like tickets and information, go visit their website, because we're in the online age now. Mm-hmm. Buy your tickets right through the site at courttheater.org. And Sean Graney, break a leg, and we'll see you at the theater.
Okay, thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.